97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Paying tremendous tariffs into Canada, and those tariffs are going to be totally eviscerated, down to zero.
Is the U.S. going to lower tariffs on Canadian autos?
We're doing certain things. We're going to give something, and we're doing certain things. They were paying a high number. We're reducing it a little bit. It's good for everybody. But our farmers are going to be thrilled. Our manufacturers are going to be thrilled. And basically, we have no tariffs going into Canada. Canada was charging us tremendous tariffs. We no longer have any tariffs.
That is a victory there. The president is celebrating a little bit of a victory lap. We've got former Senator Jim Talent on with us, a senior fellow at the Ronald Reagan Institute. And Jim, great to have you back. What is your take on the tariff battle with Canada that the president appears to have won here?
It's part of a much larger pattern, Mark, that is reviving American manufacturing and I believe has put us on the cusp of a manufacturing-led economic boom. I mean, investment in manufacturing is way up. Consumer spending is way up. Productivity is up. Real income for families is up. And this is a combination of a effective trade policy, making the tax cuts certain so we have predictability, the deregulations in the president's policies, and maybe especially the energy production. I mean, we're turning into an energy powerhouse. So I'm looking forward to something similar. And I remember this, Mark, you know, 81 and 82 under Reagan, he was instituting his policies. And the economy wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And then in 83, it took off. And I'm encouraging people to be optimistic because I think we've got good times ahead.
I do, too. Jim, tell me what I'm missing here. I grew up. I was a child of the Reagan Revolution. I know that he wasn't huge on tariffs and things like that. But then I've seen unfair trade that the U.S. has put up with for 40 plus years with some of these countries, Canada included. And Donald Trump comes along and says, we're going to even the playing field, and everybody screams bloody murder about it. Why was it our policy as a nation to let ourselves be taken advantage of by so many countries for so long?
Mark, I used to complain about the same thing. It was like, because people would come to see me and I would say, well, yeah, you know, I'm very much for free trade. But why is it that the Europeans charge a big tariff on our cars and we got virtually none on theirs? In other words, why can't we have a good deal once in a while? I completely agree with you. And I think the president's awakened everybody to it. There's a lot of people who oppose it just because it's Trump. And then there are people, I think, on the momentum of the past, which, by the way, isn't anywhere near what people think it is. You mentioned Reagan. Well, Reagan was very upset about the Japanese penetrating our car market. And he didn't impose tariffs. You know what he did? He had a quota.
Yeah.
He said, look, because only a certain number of Japanese cars can come into this country. And you know what the Japanese did? That's when they started building car manufacturing plants in the United States, which is why we have all these plants today. So this is not unprecedented at all. Yeah, I think it's again one of basically four big things that the administration and the Congress has done in the last 2 years that I think is going to produce an enduring prosperity.
I want to get your take on this whole Iran situation, because Trump is now warning of economic D-Day, and it feels like Trump has threatened these things and then he doesn't really end up taking action. Now, I know he doesn't want to be too quick to actually do those things because that can have consequences, but it's starting to make me feel like, are we really doing enough? Like Mark said earlier, he said, heck, if they do a drone attack with the Strait of Hormuz, why don't we go bomb a bridge or bomb a power plant? And you do that enough times and they will finally realize, all right, we need to stop doing this.
Well, that's what he is doing when they attack American forces. And you notice they haven't done that now for about 2 weeks. They also haven't attacked the Israelis because they know it's going to come. I think it's because what we're pursuing is a policy of blockading the strait. In other words, we can move product through the strait. You've probably seen Chris Wright, the energy secretary, said a few days ago. He said we're moving 9 million barrels of oil a day.
Right.
Which, when you add it to the increased pipeline production and flow, is restoring the volume that we had before the war. So we're the ones controlling the straits. And what it is, Kim, is we're throttling the economy. And the president is choosing to do it that way, I think, rather than an attack which might cause them to then turn around and attack the vital infrastructure of the Gulf states. I think that's the key. So once think of it this way, Kim, if we go ahead and attack all of their energy infrastructure, then we don't have that as a deterrent anymore. Once you use it, right, it's not a deterrent. So and the president doesn't want the war escalated right now. He's choosing instead to blockade them economically, which is having a tremendous effect. I think we've talked about it on the show before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're just digging the hole in deeper, and, you know, eventually they're going to have to start thinking about how to get out of it. But in the meantime, okay, the key is to continue stabilizing oil prices, which have been hovering in the 80s. We'd like to get it down, and they will get down. But for now, this is the policy.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about how it's reforming the way oil moves around the world. And I just read the other day there's several pipelines being worked on. And two, three, 4, 5 years from now, people aren't going to recognize the way oil moves today.
Yeah, that's why in Canada, this was really stupid on the part of the Iranians. I think it was a desperation play. You're right. I mean, the Saudis are expanding their east-west pipeline. The UAE is expanding its north-south pipeline, and consumers around the world, which is to say these Asian countries, India, et cetera, are reorganizing their supply chains. You know who they're buying from now. I mean, they're going to buy from the United States going forward because those supply chains are secure. So this is a wasting asset for the Iranians. And while that happens, we're continuing to strangle the economy. The assets of their national oil company were frozen a few days ago because of debt. And you're going to see this all over their economy.
I saw it. Jim Talent, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great week. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.